like you to take your Bibles and open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, thank you for your prayers for us. I haven't been feeling good the last day or so, but I'm feeling much better tonight. Sometimes people pray for you until you get home and then you crash. As we think of this mission trip to Nicaragua, I want to just share with you tonight some information, some highlights, some testimonies. In fact, you know, when we sang tonight, "He Ransomed Me," stanza 3, "From the throne of heavenly glory, oh, the sweet and blessed story, Jesus came to lift the lost in sin and woe, into liberty all glorious, trophies of his grace victorious. Evermore rejoicing here below." And some of the stories I'm going to share with you tonight are clearly trophies of God's grace. We begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. "For the love of Christ compels us." This is the motivating factor of the Christian life. "Because we judge thus, we've come to this conclusion, that if one died for all, and he did, the Lord Jesus Christ, then all believers died with him," is the idea. "And he died for all, that those who live, who have a new life in Christ, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." In other words, we don't view people from human standards. "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." And you know, one of the things I was reminded of on the trip, again, when you see all these people, these are precious souls for whom Christ died. We're to view people in light of the lens of the finished work of Christ and the grace of God. Because again, God's willing to save us just as we are, though he doesn't want to leave us just as we are, but though he's willing to work with us right where we're at. Verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God." They come from God, all these blessings. "Who has reconciled us to himself," how? "Through Jesus Christ, and has given us," those who he's reconciled, "the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of the message of reconciliation." So we have a ministry, we have a message of reconciliation, which we know as the gospel, which is what he talks about in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And therefore, in this ministry, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ on foreign territory, heralding the message of the gospel. "As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time, I have heard you in the day of salvation. I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" We're certainly reminded of that as we went to Nicaragua. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You know, it's been 2 years since I've been to Nicaragua, though a group from DBC went last year to minister at a Christian school in Darío, Nicaragua. But what a joy for me this time to hear and see the gospel being clearly presented and sound doctrine being faithfully taught by the students of our Grace Institutes there. The majority of the students are pastors, with the rest usually being church leaders or teachers of some sort. We realize some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. Before I look at the details of this trip, let me give you the big picture once again that I try to remind you of over and over again when it comes to missions. Number one, we have sought to remember that Jesus Christ said, I'll build my church so as to cooperate and not compete with him. And this is very, very important to remember. We take seriously the great commission of our Lord to go and make disciples of all nations, and you don't need to go to a foreign country to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, for across the street or across the ocean. We're to take the word to the world. So walk with the Lord and let him use you right where you are at today. And he will direct your steps tomorrow. The second thing we've noted in the past is our strategy is to walk by faith in the Lord one step at a time with a team concept and allow him to divinely direct us as we target the spiritual leaders in Nicaragua. Again, the key to the horizontal is always the vertical. And the team concept is so important. It's called the body life concept, if you want to say it that way. And the Lord has led us to target the spiritual leaders. It's not wrong to plant a church, but we just felt, as we walked with the Lord, we just believed that targeting the spiritual leaders, they in turn could then, within the context of their own language and their own culture and their own community, they could impact people individually for Christ far better than we could if indeed they would respond to sound doctrine that we taught them. You know, as I think of team concept, I think of Paul's first missionary journey. There was Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. Second missionary journey, there was Paul and Silas and Timothy. And in fact, if you, in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, it's interesting to know about a team ministry sometimes encompasses people from other churches that are on the same page doctrinally. We read, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him, Paul, to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. There's at least 8 names of believers involved here, and at least 4 or 5 local churches. One, you've got Antioch with Paul, you've got Berea here, you have the Thessalonians here, you have Derbe here, and you have those in Asia Minor. And so this was a cooperative effort by believers from various local churches that were doctrinally sound. They had no organizational unity like a denomination, but they had unity of doctrine and unity in Christ and unity of purpose, and they were willing to cooperate with one another for the cause of Christ. And I'm reminded of that here on the trip we just took. Antonio and Patricia Estrada from La Union, El Salvador, came on over, and Antonio co-taught at Ometepe with Nelson there. They taught the church God's masterpiece, the very thing I would teach with Nelson in Managua and then in Nueva Guinea. And Antonio is a very good teacher. He actually heads up a Grace Institute in La Union. In fact, he has been asked to start this Grace Institute at the prison in La Union because the warden has said to him, the only way these people's lives are really going to be changed is if they come to know Christ and get grounded in the Word of God. And then these prisoners can impact other prisoners within the prison for the Lord. And so they've actually requested, he's put in the paperwork, has been sent in, and he's waiting to just get the official approval before he starts a Grace Institute in the prison in La Union. Thinking of a team ministry, I think of Cassie Delgado. She's sitting here in the back of a pickup among the suitcases and our trip from the airport after we arrived. And Cassie was a real help as she was a conversational translator. She was actually mine. Every break, she came right next to me and walked around with me as I wanted to talk to people, as I am Spanish deficient. And she grew up with her dad is Mexican, her mother is Norwegian. And as a result, she heard Spanish at home. She also, I believe, majored in Spanish and went to Chile for a year during college, got saved 2.5 years ago, and is part of the Word of Grace Bible Church there in Milwaukee. Also, Kevin McNulty from Grace Gospel Bible Church in Edina was there, and Nelson as well. And Kevin actually has been there for 45 days as of tomorrow. He is heading home. He went there to up his Spanish, and he actually went 3 weeks to a school in order to improve his Spanish. He already was, you know, conversational, but it improved him even more. And he acted as the treasurer on this trip. And then Nelson Hernandez, as you know, is the director of our Grace Institutes there in Nicaragua. Joan Wehner also came along, major translator, very good team player, very helpful in this work. In fact, she's gone on more mission trips than I have in those situations. Also, Gnarly Solano came along. She is the principal of a Christian school in Dorillo, and there's her daughter Abigail with her. She was born Nicaraguan, though she grew up in the Yakima Valley up in Washington State, as her dad was a Nicaraguan pastor who had to leave the country due to political reasons in the late 1980s, and became the pastor actually of, I think, three different Hispanic churches up in the Yakima Valley, where he told me 60% of the people are actually Hispanic. And so she grew up speaking English. She's fluent in Spanish. She's been the director of this Christian school in Dorillo, Nicaragua, the last 9 years, if I remember right, or so. She's, again, a very good translator and has gone with us before. Her husband joined us as well, as he, and I'm really glad Julio came along, as he's not as grounded doctrinally as Gnarly, but he was very teachable. He's a real steady Eddie kind of guy, and we enjoyed him and the kids. That's Abigail and that's Josiah, the Spanish version of it, which I can't say. Teen concept is critical, as God is equipped, gifted, and wants to use various believers with speaking and support giftedness to serve as teachers, translators, and other support personnel. To give you some chronology of our missionary work in Nicaragua, we started Bible conferences in 2010. We started the Grace Institutes in 2012, and Nelson Hernandez moved to Nicaragua in 2015. We started out, I believe, with about 120 students. That's not uncommon to lose some due to work commitments, other kinds of things. We have 80 students now in three different locations. We have students on the island of Ometepe here. We have students in Managua, and we have students here in Nueva Guinea. A third thing that we have that has shaped our understanding of missions is our confidence has always been in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the clear, accurate, systematic, verse-by-verse teaching of sound doctrine from a grace perspective. We really believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And you know, when I was up in Nueva Guinea and I was sitting eating lunch one day with a bunch of guys at a table, I said, "Can I ask you guys some questions?" I said, "Were you saved before you started the Grace Institute?" And most answered yes. Were you clear in your presentation of the gospel before you began the Grace Institute? And they all answered no. Did you believe in eternal security before you were involved in the Grace Institute? And they most answered yes. Did you understand the three tenses of salvation? And they all answered no. In fact, they said they've learned so much about grace and even salvation being in three tenses and how to rightly divide the word of truth in this regard. You know, as we think of the various classes they've had, they've heard Romans 1 through 8, Galatians, biblical distinctions, personal evangelism, Colossians, exegesis, and problem passages and eternal security, dispensation, Bible study methods, rules of interpretation, clearing up the charismatic confusion, the church God's masterpiece, and I think there's a few others. Before they graduate here in a couple years, they're going to cover 1 Peter, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, Daniel, Revelation, exposing Calvinism, as well as expository preaching. We're requiring all of them to have taught Romans 1 through 8, either in their churches or at a home Bible study, to graduate. And so we're going to need to print 80 Romans manuals coming up here soon in Nicaragua. And I'm sure we'll be taking up a special offering for that, as there's probably at least $2,000 cost in doing just that. Number four, we've sought to bring the teaching training to anyone interested and studying the scriptures by providing for them various scriptural studies with handouts that were transferable for use in their local churches, as well as doctrinally sound materials, all free of charge. And frankly, they are very, very grateful. And everything we teach, we design it to be transferable. So to learn God's word is one thing, to teach God's word effectively is another. And so they're able to use the handouts we use in class and turn around. In fact, I went to one church and this lady pulled me aside and she pulled out three handouts that her pastor was teaching her, and they were all stuff from our institute. Very few have PowerPoint projectors and things like that. In fact, they'd have intermittent electricity sometimes, so probably the way they're doing it is probably just fine, especially some of the churches are in very rural areas. But what a joy as believers at various churches are again, just sharing the truths they're learning. In this series on the church, God's masterpiece, we especially focused on 1 Timothy chapters 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And in doing so, one of the things we looked at was the structure of the local church. And in doing so, we emphasized again that the chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. Underneath his authority are the ancianos, who are the elders, and are the pastors. And then there's the deacons, the assistants, and spiritually gifted congregation. And frankly, what we taught was new to many of them, shocking to some of them, as we taught how the church is to be elder-led, not congregational rule, how there is to be no women pastors, no women worship leaders, as it were, no denominations, no female directivas. Because what happens in these denominations is over the pastors, they will have a group right here. And these will be the denominational heads, or sometimes they're the directivas of these churches. And there's the legal board, and they will make up people, men and women, who are really over the pastors in every way. And it just doesn't line up scripturally. And we also covered, obviously, the responsibilities of the pastor, the response of the congregation, and so forth. But frankly, at the end of the day, when they were done, they were going to have to deal with the reality of the truth and let the Lord direct them regarding this. Number five, we've sought important intercessory prayer support from DBC and our sister churches, and I can't say how important that is. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, and if that's true of a righteous man, what is it of many believers who are praying? So a real thank you, as God answered all our prayers. You know, we were on the roads, and driving in Central America can be really interesting. And the Lord gave us safety. And my room, my hotel room up in Nueva Guinea, I killed no less than 15 spiders over 3 days. And one of the last ones I killed, I'm serious, was the size of the base of my hand. So it was big. I watched it come under my door, making its way to my bed. And I thought, I'm not sharing my bed with that creature. And needless to say, there was carnage on the floor left for the next day. Furthermore, no chikungunya. There is a problem with chikungunya there in the country. Not as bad as El Salvador, but it is there. And the Lord answered again our prayers for safety, for strength, and for spiritual impact as well. So thank you. Number six, we have financed these missionary endeavors by the grace giving of believers and wise financial transactions. As God directed and provided, believing that the three things that eternally matter are Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and people. And again, we just want to say thank you. What a worthwhile investment in light of eternity. Do pray for millions of dollars to spread the gospel. As you know, we have a diminishing bank account at DBC, and God can drop pennies from heaven. He's in it. He can direct. And so just be praying for all of this. Number seven, we've been mindful of the Great Commission in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, with the intent of ultimately turning over the ministry in any given area over to local churches to continue the work independent of DBC ultimately. And again, 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and the things, the truths that you have heard from me, Paul said to Timothy, among many witnesses, entrust these same truths to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that's exactly what we're seeking to do there in Nicaragua, working off Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, as the saints are equipped, they do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Thus, we've done this all right through the local church. As you know, our director there in Nicaragua is Nelson Hernandez. He's certainly God's right man for this ministry. He's a godly believer. He's an excellent teacher. He's a good team player. He's discerning. It's been a transition for him to move from El Salvador over, but he's very thankful. One of the needs that came up during the trip is we needed a portable mic system, and actually Grace Gospel Bible Church down in the cities gave Kevin McNulty a special offering when he left there to be used as the Lord led, and he felt led of the Lord for it to go towards a new PA system, portable one, so Nelson could have this, and this certainly met a need. One night, this is a little picture of us sitting around at supper at the Hotel El Caesar where we stayed, and in doing so, again, here's Julio, and this is Gnarly again, and me, and there's Kevin, and there's Cassie, and there's Joan, and this is a guy named Johnny Rollins, talked about, and his translators, whose name was Ray or Rinaldo. And this is somebody that I got in contact with due to a mutual friend. And I had heard about this man and that he had a ministry down in Nicaragua. And so we were able to connect. He made the drive down from Chinandega. And we sat down at the hotel and he basically entertained us for an hour, sharing his testimony. And frankly, it was so refreshing because he is extremely clear on the gospel. And it just seemed like home. It's like the way we would explain it and so forth. He's in his mid-60s. He was saved in the 1970s. He went to Florida Bible College. And at some point, about 1980 or so, he went carnal and lived in carnality for 25 years and just wasted his life and started walking with the Lord again in about 2009. Eventually came over to Nicaragua to be used of the Lord to give out the gospel and has built a conference center near Chinandega. He's very clear on the gospel, and he was encouraged, we were encouraged as we spent time together. Now, the first conference I was involved in on this trip, or our team was in Managua, and you can see a little bit of the picture in the background here of the room. This is Abigail and Josiah Solano. By the way, there's no air conditioning in these rooms. There are some fans. We had up to 97 degrees one day with a lot of humidity. So needless to say, you just stand there and sweat as you teach the Word of God. And they sit there and sweat as they learn the Word of God. We average, I think, close to 40 students there at our conference in Managua. It went well. One of our students is Michael. Here's his wife, Berta, and both were saved in their late teens. Now they're in their late 20s. Berta got saved out of witchcraft. Michael got saved out of the gangs, and they got married, and they have one son, Michael Jr., who's 8 years old. And we met Michael at the first conference we taught in Managua on Romans. First 2 days, he was so excited. This is so great. Until the end of the second day when we explain how you're saved and how you're not saved. And he went home having a crisis, and this is very normal. Though he was saved, he realized he hadn't been preaching the gospel clearly. And he just confessed it to the Lord and claimed his forgiveness and came to class the next day smiling again. And we really like Michael, and it was really nice to meet Berta this time as well. And she works at a Christian school, and they came and visited us at the hotel that we stayed at as well. And I preached at 7 churches over 2 Sundays as well as a Thursday night and Friday night Three of the churches are with Grace Institute students as their pastors. Four of them have Grace Institute students teaching, but not their pastors. And there's clearly a difference. I could tell when I preach, and I'd ask questions of the group, which ones were our pastors and which ones weren't. Because the ones that were our pastors, these people knew the answers. The ones that weren't, that was a whole different story. And I preached on 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. I just went over the gospel. And one of the joys we had was Sunday morning going to a house church. This is Michael again here. Michael and his wife, and Michael's uncle actually is the pastor. Michael is the youth pastor. They just rent out a house. This is the front room of the house, and they had about 30 people in there. And then outside in the courtyard, they had another 20 people or so, 50 to 60 crammed in to hear the word of God. And again, you can tell that they were been taught because they were very responsive. And what a joy it was for me to teach them. In fact, if you can see the PowerPoint there, you can see consummata ace, which means it is finished, as we talk about what Christ did on the cross. Also, I like including the kids. I always have an illustration, usually where I invite a volunteer to come up, and I offer them some money as a gift, talk about what do you have to do to get this, and finally they just take it, and you know, I use it as how we get salvation and how we can never lose salvation. You know, thinking of one of the churches of one of our Institute students, his name is Ephraim Hernandez Morenco, and it was a Sunday night. It was a lively group, very responsive, and in doing so, I preached the gospel, and I could tell they were responding, and even towards the end, how does this relate to you? I talked about what you think of Christ will determine where you spend eternity. I went over John 3:18, so which one describes you, the first part or the second part? And then I talked about if you were to die and go to the gates of heaven, Christ said, why should I let you in? What would you say? And I would say, would you say repent from your sins? Wrong answer. You know, and I went through about 7 wrong answers. And then I went over the right answer and I said, and if you would respond this way, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell, but I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again to give me eternal life as a gift. And I have put my faith in him alone. God would then say, come on in. And I clicked to the PowerPoint slide you've seen many times of Jesus Christ embracing the believer in heaven. And the church breaks out in applause. It was really classic. Unsolicited, they just enjoyed it. And let me mention something about Ephraim Hernandez. He's the pastor of this church. He had been a pastor for 18 years in this particular denomination. And he even taught at their Bible Institute. But eventually, he was forced out because as he learned truths in the Grace Institute, he was teaching them at their institute. And they forced him out, actually. And so what happened is, he told the students he could no longer teach them. He goes home. They knock on his door. And they said, we want you to teach us. And he said, come on in. They prayed for a couple hours, talked about it, and said, you pray about this for the week, and then tell me what you want to do next week. Following week, they got a knock on the door. All 15 came in and said, we want you to teach us. These other men do not know how to teach us the Word of God. Furthermore, the Lord provided a way in which, in front of his whole general assembly of his denomination, he was given the opportunity to give 3 messages, one on justification by faith alone, one on eternal security, and one on the ministries of the Holy Spirit and salvation and sanctification. Pretty incredible. Some of these students, though, have experienced great opposition. One couple we read about, Horatio and his wife Rosario, who actually I met in Managua. When they first started to study in the Institute, right from the beginning, they faced heavy opposition from the main leaders of their church and were actually expelled from the church where they attended. They now meet in another church where they've been given the opportunity to teach. And Horatio is very grateful, happy to teach in the adult Sunday school class. Then we made our way from Managua here over to Huigalpa, and then over our way to Nueva Guinea. And as you can see, there aren't a lot of big cities in this area. Nueva Guinea was started 50 years ago by an evangelical pastor who took 18 people with him and started the city. And it is in the boonies. And yet we had just the most delightful time there. Here you can see us teaching. The center they have is really quite nice. This is on the second floor, and the wind does come across right through one window to the other. And we had some 23 students. They are very humble and teachable. And if you can show them from the scriptures, they will change their mind. Here's a little example of the class. This is the class with some of our team as part of it as well. And again, tremendous stories that you can hear from these various men who had come from a denomination, many of them, that was actually part of the Central American Mission at one time. The Central American Mission was started by C.I. Schofield in 1890. They also had Lewis Berry Chafer as the president. Charles Ryrie has been the president of it and so forth way back when. But in the 1950s, there was a split, and they started this. And so on paper, doctrinally, I don't think we would disagree with them at all. But over the pulpit, or in their preaching and their teaching, they have drifted away from sound doctrine in many ways. And so many of these men have those backgrounds and connections and such, but they are hungry to learn the Word of God. This particular man in the yellow, his name is Antonio. He pastors a church in the boondocks of Nicaragua. He travels some 16 hours to attend class. And I thought of believers, how we can make excuses, well, I'm busy, I'm doing a home project on Sunday, I can't come out and hear the Word of God, as if that really matters. He's traveling 16 hours to hear the Word of God. And what is incredible is when he first started the Institute, he didn't know how to read. He actually taught himself how to read so that he could take in the Institute. Here's a man named Gabriel, and his wife's name is Rosabel. And 8 years ago, he was removed from his church, as 80% of the church was for him, 20% was against him. And apparently the 20% won out, and it was very difficult for him. He has now started an independent local church. I preached last Friday night at his church, again in a home, a very humble home. People were crammed everywhere, and some were saved, some were not saved, but we had a chance to give them the gospel, and it was real joy to be part of that fellowship. Now, this fellow here, his name is Pedro Pablo. How do you like that? Two apostles. And he has been a pastor for many, many years. But when he said he began the Grace Institute, he was really challenged doctrinally. In fact, he told me that he has learned more in the last 4 years than the last 44 years since he was saved. And in fact, every member of his church has a copy of the gospel booklet and is going through it with somebody else seeking to lead them to Christ. And so he did tell me his presentation of the gospel was not clear in the past, and he's very grateful that the Lord has used us to clear that up. Here's a little guy named Aner. He's a short little guy, but then again, a lot of them are short. And he pastored a church in the boondocks as well, and he taught our Roman stuff. I don't know how well he taught it, and it might have been over the heads of some of them. Clearly was, because he actually moved on to another church. And this fellow, who is much taller, his name is Bayardo, he took his place. He taught the same material and just simplified it. And the result was those who opposed it are now the best students of it. And as a result, they've embraced the message of grace, clear on the gospel, eternal security, and other things. And this fellow, I had met him actually, well, the team had met him back in Huigalpa in 2011 when I taught there at a national convention conference there. And he had told us then that we were an answer to his prayers. And he said the Grace Institute certainly has been all of that. He's preaching on a radio station owned by the Assemblies of God. And he was asking Nelson's advice about whether it was right for him to preach on their station. And Nelson said as long as he wasn't compromising the doctrine that it could work out. And Bayardo said that up to now they've said nothing. And he's going to start teaching Romans on the radio station. You can pray for Bayardo, and we'll see if they let him continue. This is a man named Francisco. He has pastored for years, but not presently. He's thinking about starting an independent church with Misael right here as well, as many of these men have caught on already that the way they function denominationally just is not correct. He's a very good student. In fact, according to Nelson, he has the potential of being a teacher in the future at our Grace Institute. This guy's name is Cirilo. He is very interesting background. He fought with the Sandinistas. Now, many of you know that years ago they had a civil war. There was Somoza and there was the Sandinistas. The Sandinistas eventually won. Daniel Ortega said he was going to help the poor people. We know that he's worth about $500 million today. And there isn't really two classes or three classes anymore. There's two. And now there's this whole canal and there's all this issue. But he fought with the Sandinistas. He went one day into a chapel during the war with hand grenades, ammunitions, and AK-47. And he heard the gospel and got saved right there. And now he is a pastor teaching the word of God. Here was another fellow named Armando who was there who really appreciates the teaching. We had an 18-year-old girl named Gabriella as well, who isn't a regular part of the Institute, but she has made it to a few conferences and really appreciates the teaching. Now, this is a guy we need to pray for. And his name is Rinaldo, and I can't remember what his wife is. But Rinaldo, at first, didn't really think he needed any of the teaching. He was proud and arrogant. He was one of the four directors of FIEMCA, this denomination that is there. Though the Grace Institute is held at the facility in Nueva Guinea, where he actually acts as the director. But he would come up and he'd sit in the back and listen, and the more he listened, the more interested he became in the teaching. And as time went on, he started to realize that there was a lot of things he didn't understand. And he started to sit down and take notes with everyone else. At this conference, he was there as much as he could be, taking notes, filling in, and so forth and so forth. And I really wanted to talk to Rinaldo. And the Lord provided at the last lunch, right when everyone was leaving, for us to sit down and talk. And I was very encouraged with him. As he admitted, he's learned a lot in the Institute. He said he would write a letter of recommendation for our ministry. He would be willing to teach with us in Bluefields. He even shared his experience that over in Bluefields, which is on the Atlantic coast, that he taught Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 at a FIEMCA church. And his outline was very simple. Here's how you are saved, here's how you're not saved, and here's why you're saved. And he explained the gospel clearly. The pastor just silently listened. The next day he called into the headquarters of their denomination and told them that Rinaldo was preaching heresy. And I think it's because Rinaldo was explaining how you're not saved and clarifying that. So he felt, knows firsthand what it's like now, what other students have experienced as well. He's a conflicted man, though. And that's why we need to pray for him. One of the students, in fact, Bayardo, this tall dude right here, he came up to Rinaldo after the teaching one day and he said, "Well, Rinaldo, obviously FIEMCA doesn't follow the biblical pattern for the structure of the church. What are you going to do about it?" And Rinaldo said, "Well, we need to follow the Word of God." The problem is he's one director of four and there's a president and these other directors haven't heard the same teaching. And so forth, and so you really need to pray for him regarding this as well. Future possibilities of Bible institutes down the road, they are several. I'm going to just circle a few places here. In Managua, there is definitely tremendous interest in at least one or more institutes. They want another institute in Nueva Guinea. They want a new institute up in Huigalpa right here. They would like a new institute up here in Chinandega. They would like an institute in Rivas right over here. They would like an institute or at least a Bible conference in Bluefields, as well as there's Rosito way up here. They say it takes 10 hours by bus from Rama to get to this place. It is way up there. And we have a guy who's not only willing to do it, but would really like to start something up there. Now, if you notice closely on the Atlantic here, there's a city called Bluefields. That hardly sounds Spanish. It is not. And the reason is that apparently years ago, slaves which were runaway and others came down to the Caribbean and they started to populate this area down here. And so you actually find English speakers there along the coast. In fact, in Nueva Guinea, there is a minor league baseball team who uses it as their headquarters, the very place we were at. And they rent space for the baseball season. Now, Nicaragua, unlike most Central American countries, loves baseball as well as soccer. And they have their own major leagues. In fact, there's 7, 8, 9 Nicaraguans playing in our major leagues. And so there was this team here, minor league team, and I had taught, and when I was done, I came down the steps, and Nelson was teaching, and Gnarly was talking to this guy named Leighton Patterson, who was from the Bluefields area. He was black. He really wasn't Hispanic. He was really far more black, and he was about 6'2", which is tall, because you know most Nicaraguans are short. He was the shortstop for the baseball team, and he was speaking in perfect English. And I thought, this is incredible. This is what I've been looking for. You know, be able to talk in English to someone here, you know. And Gnarly was already talking to him, and he had already said his chances of heaven were 75%. And so I had the opportunity to jump in with her and give him the gospel. By the time it was over, Leighton said he was 100% sure. He knew exactly the reason why, and he knew he had gotten saved that day. Very encouraging. Well, while I was talking to him, Gnarly moved over to 5 other Hispanics speaking in Spanish. So when I was done with Leighton, I walked over there and kind of picked up where she was at and gave them the gospel as well. And I don't know if any of them got saved. And they don't want to say a lot when they're sitting next to their baseball buddies. But at one point, I said towards the end, I said, well, guys, thank you for listening politely. I'm not sure how interested you are, but you listen politely, and I appreciate that. And one of them speaks up and said, no, thank you for sharing this with us. And I said, can I ask you a question? Have you ever heard this before? And they all 5 of them said no. They had never heard the gospel before. And again, I'm just reminded of the great need that is there. As I think of the direction of ministry in 2015, I've encouraged Nelson to just continue teaching at the 3 Grace Institutes. I also have encouraged him to have a 1-day introductory conferences at these various sites where there's interest. And then if they're positive, then go back and have a 3-day Romans 1-6 conference where the previous teaching is well-received at the 1-day conference. And if that's well-received, then look at starting new Grace Institutes in 2016 using students from the first class to teach a new class of students. There's a lot of momentum going on right now, and it needs a lot of prayer because we know that Satan would want to definitely thwart this. And as a result, we want to pray that the Word of God would have free course and spread rapidly there. Now, you should have received a prayer list tonight. Can I use yours, Caleb, there? And I want you to go to the back top and you see the needs that are there, some prayer requests. I just want to highlight a few here. First of all, thanks for your many answers to prayer. I want you to pray for residency for Nelson Hernandez. Residency in Nicaragua is not easy. It's a really difficult process. You know, even to get a bank account there, just to get a checking account, you have to have a paper from your employer. You've got to share how much you make. You've got to do all these things just to get a checking account. Very complicated, let alone residency. Pray for the students of our 3 Grace Institutes for courage and wisdom to teach the scriptural truths they've learned. Pray for Leighton Patterson, not related to Daryl, who was saved last Thursday. Pray for 5 other baseball players who heard the gospel. for divine direction for the 6 or more possible sites for a Romans conference and possible future Grace Institutes. Pray for Reynaldo Maya for strength to do God's will with inner conflicts due to his position. Pray for those who heard the gospel at the 7 churches that I preached at. I want you to pray for a gal named Leda Marie, who I believe got saved the first time I went to Nicaragua, but she's gotten caught up with the Pentecostal movement. To be open to see the false teaching she has embraced. Pray for the independent churches that have started in Managua and Nueva Guinea. I want to pray for a new brochure explaining the Grace Institute ministries. Pray for the financial needs of Nelson and many of the pastors there. I mean, most pastors in El Salvador are bivocational. They have to work a job besides pastoring, and there's a real need there. I want you to also pray as we're exploring a possible medical missions trip next year. And I know some of you have expressed an interest in doing that. We've done 3 of them in El Salvador over the years. And in doing so, we're just going to explore that possibility next year as well. So the needs are great. We're going to break up for prayer in a moment. But before we do, I'd like the piano player to come on up once again. And I'd like to sing a song that reminds us how these people and people everywhere are more precious than gold. We start out with the chorus, but then stanza 1 is, people around me are grasping pleasures that leave them so empty. Each day I see them hurried and hopeless, rushing down the path to eternity. And that is so true. Just think of those 5 baseball players who said they've never heard this before. And then stanza 2 really is for the believer. Christians are wasting God's riches. What are you really investing in? Fooled by the world's empty pleasures, seeking the worthless, leaving the precious, deaf to the words of the Savior. What words? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we're going to invite you to stand as we sing together. When we're done singing, we're going to give you a couple minutes to exit or to find someone else to pray with here, and we're going to devote the last 15 minutes of the service to prayer. Let's start out by singing the chorus together. More precious gold, much better than silver, is the price of a soul. God wants to deliver. There are people around you crying out for a Savior, and their lives are a treasure of worth beyond measure, more precious than gold. Christians are wasting God's riches, fooled by the world's empty pleasure, seeking the worthless, leaving the precious, deaf to the words of the Savior. More precious than gold, much better than silver, is the price of a soul. God wants to deliver. There are people around you crying out for a Savior, and their lives are a treasure worth beyond measure, more precious than gold. Just a second. I think I didn't go back far enough. Let's go back to stanza 1. Okay. People around me are grasping pleasures that leave them so empty. Each day I see them hurried and hopeless, rushing down the path to eternity. More precious than gold, much better than silver, is the price of a soul. God wants to deliver. There are people around you crying out for a Savior, and their lives
lives are a treasure of worth beyond men, more precious than gold.
Invite you to stay for prayer, and if not, we'd like you to make your way out of the auditorium in the next 2 to 3.